today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, a major internet outage creates delays at Sacramento International. Carnival says you can't wear offensive apparel on its ships. If you have heard the stories about juice jacking at airports, we are here to clear things up a bit.
We make you a smarter traveler coming up at 3:20 as we talk about non-refundable hotel rooms, airfares, and other travel components. Now, can you take advantage of those lower non-refundable rates and still get a refund later? Well, Mark's going to clear that up. He has the answer.
Consumer advocate Chris Elliott makes his monthly visit to the show to talk about reducing your carbon footprint while traveling. It's an increasingly important issue, and Chris tells us how some travel companies are responding.
Santa Claus, Indiana, becomes a special place at Christmas time, and each year the townspeople volunteer for a very special Christmas tradition. We have a wonderful holiday story for you. That's coming up at 3:50.
Santa will be on his way soon. Thank you for taking time out of your busy holiday to add in the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All I want from them and man.
I come from a land of love. I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks. Let it roll.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Season's greetings to all of you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, as always, brought to you proudly by Sports Leisure Vacations. Hi, Mark. You made it. Boy, I tell you, it's wet and wild here in Sacramento.
It is. It's been an interesting last 24 hours, if you have anything to do with the airport in Sacramento, because, my goodness.
I thought about you this morning. I thought, for sure, I hope Mark wasn't flying.
How does Sacramento get to be the lead story on the national network news? It's you're the only country, only city in the country whose airport is basically right now running on about 40% capacity. Here's the problem. As many of you, I'm sure, unless you've been in a cave, it's on every news station in town. Someone ran into a power pole, knocked it down, knocked out power to a small number of people, but more importantly, knocked out internet service to a larger number of people, including the whole airport complex. So not only have you, what they've lost is the ability to check you in. And the ability, I've seen this happen before, but not on this grand of a scale, the ability to write you, you know, the board, the baggage tags all come out of a machine. They've all got a code on them and everything. Well, now those baggage tags have to all be written by hand. And the other thing is, when they get to the connecting point, they won't be able to be read by any of those scanners because they're not computer-generated tabs. So that's one problem. So you'd say, well, okay, I'll just take carry-on luggage. I won't check a bag. And I've got my boarding pass on my phone, so I'm in good shape. And I was talking to Samantha Mott. Sam was on the news, network news there at the top of the hour. And I was talking to her about an hour and a half ago, and I said, well, okay, so if I bring carry-on bags and I've already got my boarding pass, am I in good shape? She said, yeah, you're in good shape. But the problem is there are a bunch of other people that are flying with you on that plane. So unless the huge majority of them did the same thing, you're going to be waiting for them to get through the process to get upstairs. We've pulled up the website here. You can go to Sacramento International Airport, and you can find their flight arrival and departure information, and they will there's a list of all of the arriving parts in flights. Interestingly enough, many of them are coming in on time, but then many of the planes are sitting on the ground for several hours because they're waiting for passengers. And some airlines that do what they call up and backs from Sacramento, for example, Alaska has a flight that makes a round trip and then goes off to Maui later in the morning. Well, if it couldn't get out of Sacramento early in the morning, it sure as heck can't get to Maui on time 4 hours later. So you've got a little bit of a cascading effect on planes that would touch Sacramento more than once in the day. Now they're guaranteed to be 4 or 5 hours late before they get back here because they left late.
Now, what advice would you give someone who, you know, has a flight later today?
Well, and that's
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
And they're looking online and they're seeing that perhaps the flight that they were supposed to take is one, two, three, 4 hours delayed. Would you say stay at home or would you say go out because things could change?
This is really unfortunate, but we were talking, Samantha and I were talking about this earlier, and really and truly, even if you see that your flight is showing up as several hours delayed, you need to go to the airport anyway at the time you would normally go. Why is that? Because you have to make it through that long line of manual check-ins in order to be able to get to your flight. The reason they've delayed your flight is because they're anticipating that that's about the time that all the people from your flight are going to make it through check-in and get upstairs. So if you say, well, I'm going to cut that down and just go a couple hours later, well, now you're going to be stuck in a line and you're going to be one of the people who's left behind. This is probably all as clear as mud to people. But the reality is that, unfortunately, you need to go to the airport at the time you originally planned to go to the airport. Because at some point, this is going to come back, the internet's going to come back online. And when that happens, those lines are going to go away fairly quickly. Especially if it happens in the evening, as we get later in the evening, there are fewer flights. So if it happens later in the evening, there'll be fewer delays, the line will go away quicker, and suddenly you were looking at seeing that your flight was 4 hours delayed. Now it's maybe only 45 minutes delayed because maybe the plane is sitting at the gate. As soon as they say downstairs, hey, anybody else for Denver on 547? And nobody raises their hand, then they're going to say, all right, all those people are checked, and they can look and see on their list, all right, we're good to go. So I'm going out with a group tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock to Phoenix on a flight, and we discussed this, and we're planning on getting to the airport at 8 o'clock like we normally would because somehow those people are going to have to get through. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with security. It might have something to do with security. Now that we talk about it, they said there were no issues at security, but they have to scan your boarding pass.
Right. If you don't have a boarding pass that's properly scanned, it could affect that too.
Yeah. So you've got, it's just a mess. But if you're scheduled to go, you've got to go out there. The other thing is that we tell people all the time, please put your boarding pass, put the airline app on your phone. Well, that will help you a tremendous amount because that will give you updates. They update this list every 10 minutes. For arriving and departing flights out of Sacramento International. So just beware. The other thing that this is creating is a backlog of people because people are missing connections. If your flight is 3 hours late and the planes are full, you may not be able to make, you miss your connection, you can't get a connection. Now they've got to fly you tomorrow or the next day on whatever they can find for you. And all that's going to do is create more havoc at the airport. So you've got to try to go out and get on the flight that you're originally scheduled for. You've got to go out at the regular time. Right now, the parking lots at Sacramento International all look good. So there's space to park, and so you're not going to have, we tell people get there early and stuff like that. It looks like all of that is going well. One other thing to keep in mind, because this was internet-based, it impacted the concession's ability to take credit card payments. So many of the concessions have been impacted by this too. So don't go to the air. So make sure that you take your favorite snack with you, because if you're out the airport for 4 or 5 hours, well, you may need something to eat. And
reminds me of that commercial where I think it's for a particular kind of automobile and shows people in line waiting to go and some kid banging up against the guy's back of his leg. And you hear a car start up and they both turn and look at this car and they go hand the kid the tickets and they go out and get in the car. And go to their destination by way of by automobile.
It's a good day to have a train ticket.
There you go.
It's definitely a good day to have a train ticket. And we've talked with, of course, Samantha Mott, the spokesperson for the airport. And we've talked with some of our people out there, baggage handlers and different people who are out at the airport. And the only way it can just be described is it's a zoo. It's worse in Terminal B because there are more flights fly out of Terminal B. Southwest is the airline most impacted because they have the most flights. So I've watched this all day long to see if it was getting better. The delays seem to be a little less out of Terminal A. Delta, United, American. Is that it out of that terminal? I think so. So if you're JetBlue, Contour, Boutique Air, Southwest, in Hawaiian, Alaska, those are all in Terminal B. And so just go to Sacramento Airport on the internet, and just get it up there, get your list of flight status, but go to the airport on time, and then you just, if you got a flight tomorrow, plan to go out there at the time that you would normally go.
Well, there you go. Okay, good luck tomorrow, Mark. I fly the day after. Hopefully it'll be better. The weather is starting to improve, so that should help a little bit. And of course, KFBK should have information, certainly top and bottom, on any on any changes out there. Well, normally this time of the program, at the top of the show, we always do the travel news. We did most of that on Sacramento International, but let's play the music. And Mark, you can give us a couple of other travel news.
Yeah,
updates.
Let's see if we can get through a couple of things here fairly quickly. This is important. A couple weeks ago, remember we talked about this, about juice jacking? We told folks there was a story going around. You go to the airport, and there's a place where you can plug in a normal plug, which then plugs into your device and you're charging it. Or there's a USB port where you can just plug straight into the, you know, you don't need that little connector.
Right.
So rumor was that in LAX that some things had happened that were causing, when you plugged into those USB ports, that people were hijacking all of the information on your phone and the like.
Gee.
This made the rounds. I'm telling you, I watched this story make it to a lot of places. We had it towards the beginning. It finally hit Travelers United on Thursday or Friday. And gosh, Charlie, I love Charlie and his group to death, but a little research will tell you that the people who alerted us to this story at LAX will admit that they have no instances reported of this actually happening. So if you put juice jacking LAX into your search engine and you look, you will find that there are updated reports there that, yes, they're all concerned about this, but then they finally admit that they don't know of any instances where it has happened. So if you are traveling and you are going to insert your device charging into a USB port, beware. There are bad things. It's kind of like the service station thing where they can slip something over the credit card, inserting, and then they can capture all of your information. So if you see something that looks a little weird, then don't use it. Go and use a regular plug-in someplace.
There you go.
That would be my suggestion. Okay, what else have we got here? Lyft has announced a car rental service. It wasn't a good week to own car rental stocks because when Lyft announced that they were starting a car rental service, no details on it yet, they were giving riders the flexibility to rent a car for weekend getaways, business trips, or even to run errands, the company said in a blog post. No further news yet. A new report finds airports becoming lax on security. A whistleblower who gave his name to the Transportation Security Administration is claiming that U.S. airports are vulnerable as an emphasis on speed over security has become an alarming pattern. The whistleblower says that to prevent long security lines in inordinate wait times, TSA has, among other things, reduced the sensitivity of metal detectors, disabled technology on some X-ray machines, issued orders to keep the baggage conveyor belts moving in certain circumstances, and ordered policy changes that result in fewer pat-downs. Wow. Mm-hmm. We'll watch that story. That's kind of interesting. As you might guess, Hong Kong is having a serious downturn in tourism. 46% it dropped in November year over year, 35% in October. I guess that would be not surprising. Marriott is having a new promotion to get you to join the Bonvoy loyalty program. You can earn a free night certificate just by joining. It's only good in Marriott properties in categories 1 through 4. It has a value of about 25,000 points. You cannot be a current member. You cannot have been a member recently. Marriott doesn't say how long they consider recently, but if you're not a Marriott Bonvoy member, this would be a good opportunity to pick up a free night stay in a rather inexpensive Marriott hotel along the way. I've got a whole bunch of holiday travel tips here that our friend from the airport, Samantha, sent out on Thursday, but we're kind of running a little bit short on time. Let's see here. We mentioned that all of the parking lots are still open and still have space in them. The day lot is the most crowded as it stands right now, and Samantha points out something that the hourly lot on the west side of Terminal B, the one that's the furthest is for people to park by the hour who need to go into that terminal. So if you, and it's priced that way. So if you're willing to pay $29 a day for parking, I guess you can park there. But just keep in mind that you may be keeping, when you take one of those close in spots that wasn't designed for that, you might be keeping somebody else who really needs that spot. from getting it. But anyway, the garage still has openings, as do all of the ground lots. There was a warning on here, too. She had about... New West Economy lot is prepay by license plates. Customers pay when they park by entering their license plate number at the pay station, which records payment electronically.
What so lot is this now?
This is the West Economy lot. And Samantha put that on in bold on the thing. So if you're in an economy lot and it's asking you to pay as you're entering, don't be surprised, because now the West lot does have that. That little add-on, and that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys at TravelGuysRadio.com. Refundable hotel rooms, airfares, and other travel components. Can you get a refund later? They're just making that up. They'll give you a refund later, right? Well, maybe not. We'll find out next here on the Travel Guys. Here we are returning for another segment of the Travel Guys, just like Cher returning for another concert. We never end. Okay.
122-year-old Cher has announced her third return. No,
take
actually,
it easy. She's probably not much older than me.
You know, when she played her farewell tour before, her farewell tour was
right,
so long, it played
that,
Sacramento
right?
twice.
Yeah.
So how interesting. All right. For those of you who might just be joining us and you say, wow, this is a travel show, they're probably talking about that airport thing so quickly. Here, no update from the airport yet on the restoration of internet service out there at the Sacramento International Airport. Folks are being required to check in manually, have their bags checked manually. It's causing tremendous delays for some flights. Flights are departing anywhere from a couple flights have actually left on time. But there's some delays that are 3-4. Here's one that's 5 hours. So, and we're also telling people that be careful about saying, well, my flight is delayed all this time. I'm not going to go out and spend it at the airport. If the computers come back up, if the internet comes back on, those lines are going to go away fairly quickly. And if your plane is already on the ground, everybody might clear security and you might get left, and tickets are going to be scarce for the next few days. So it's not a good situation, but I do recommend that you go out to the airport if you have a flight departing at the time that you would normally go. As we get later into the day, there are fewer flights. There will be fewer people checking in. Hypothetically, things will get a little bit better. Let me make an announcement here, Tom, too, about if you won a prize last week on our Christmas with the Travel Guys, those prizes will not be mailed out until next week. So it's going to be a little while before you get them. And also, we tried to reach one of our winners, and there might have been something wrong with the phone number, or they didn't return our call. So if you won a prize on the Travel Guys last week, you could call us at the radio station right now at 916-921-1530 and just tell Luis, we know who you are, so we have some information. So if you won a prize last week and we have not contacted you, then that would be your opportunity. Otherwise, we've reached all the other folks and your prizes will be in the mail shortly. All right, let's see here. We were going to talk a little bit about advance purchase things in the travel world.
Well, non-refundable hotel rooms.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get me one of those discount, low non-refundable.
So you go
flights.
On a hotel website now, and you see there's about 87,000 different prices. And some of the things that are pretty common are there's a member rate. You know, if you're a Marriott Bonvoy or a Hilton Honors or some Best Restaurant Rewards, and there's a rate that's a little better for you. And oftentimes there's a pay in advance rate.
Right. I run into that. I've done that.
Sometimes those rates are 5%, sometimes even 10% off.
Yeah.
The discount can be sizable.
I've risked that. I haven't had a failure yet.
It's the same way as an airline ticket.
Yeah.
You have 24 hours to cancel. Now, I read this on Chris Elliott's website, and he's going to, by the way, be a guest with us after the bottom of the hour. Somebody who made a hotel reservation for April.
Mm-hmm.
5 days later, they found out, they advanced purchase rate. 5 days later, they found out that they couldn't go on those dates. So they called the hotel and said, hey, you know, I want to change the dates. And the hotel said, I'm sorry, you bought a non-refundable, non-changeable rate. And the person was ranting and raving on the Elliott website and saying, but this is December and that's April and they'll have plenty of time to resell that room and all of that kind of stuff. And that's not the point. The point is that you agreed to a non-refundable, non-changeable rate. You got a better price for taking that risk.
Well, what you do instead of doing, instead of calling and telling them you don't want to go, mm-hmm. we talked about this not that long ago, mm-hmm. you pick new dates.
That's a possibility. That if you call the hotel directly mm-hmm. and you say, look, you know, I bought this and something has happened and I have other dates that I can travel on. And would it be possible, please, to make an exception to the rule and change the dates? As long as you're far enough out, like this gentleman was kind of saying, mm-hmm. the chances are that if you're kind about it and nice about it, you might be able to get that pulled off. But if you go, if you get enthusiastic, let's say, online or on the phone with people, then they're going to point out that you, it's the same thing with the airline tickets. You've got 24 hours to cancel a ticket without penalty, no matter what ticket you bought. But if you bought an basic economy airfare and you get to the airport and you say, well, gee, you know, where's my seat assignment and where's my bag to put in the overhead and stuff? Just keep in mind that you chose as an adult that cheaper price. So be careful when you're selecting the cheapest price in the column there. Because sometimes that cheapest price comes with restrictions that may not line up with what your needs are. So, and thinking that, well, I can talk my way out of this, I will tell you that the advocacy sites are increasingly filled with people who thought that they could talk their way out of it and have been unable to do so. So if you're buying a non-refundable, non-changeable, and whether it's an airline ticket or whatever it is, hotel room, whatever, I don't care if it's 9 or 10 months out, look at it as the fact that, gosh, I really cannot change this. And is it really, really, really worth the risk to save 5 or 10% on something particularly that's months and months away? If it's a couple of weeks away and you're healthy and you know that you're going, then that's probably a reasonable risk. If not, it's probably something that you want to stay away from. And one other thing here I want to just point out, this has come up on some of the consumer advocacy sites lately. Airlines these days, Tom, will send you a confirmation that says, we're processing your ticket. Your ticket will be issued very soon. And then sometimes a few minutes later comes the email that says, here's your ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a ticket until you have a ticket number and a confirmation number. Just keep that in mind. You need an email that has a confirmation. It'll be a 6-letter code, letter number code.
Right.
And you need a ticket number. It starts with the 3 digits that belong to that airline. United is 16, so it starts out 016. Every airline is different. If you don't have an email with a ticket number, you may not have a ticket. Something to be aware of now these days, because people pull that first email off and they think, oh, everything is fine. And the second email never comes, you didn't get a ticket. Be careful.
All right, an increasingly important issue. We're going to talk about it with Chris Elliott. He is our consumer advocate. You'll love this segment. It's coming up next right here on the Travel Guys. Keep it here. And don't forget, you can find Chris's link to his website at travelguysradio.com.
The fire is so delightful.
Hey there, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel and entertainment guys. And here until, well, till the cows come home. And at TravelGuysRadio.com. Time to bring back on the program one of our regulars, and that is Chris Elliott. Chris is, well, your consumer advocate and one of our very best travel guests. Welcome back to the Travel Guys, Chris, and top of the holiday season to you, my friend.
Well, thanks for saying that, and happy holidays to you as well.
Chris, it's nice to have you on the program. Your column used to appear every week in the travel section of the Sacramento Bee here in town, but the Bee has done away with the travel section. Heck, we might do away with the Bee at some point in time here.
Here he goes again. Here, go ahead. Go ahead, Mark.
It's a penny stock. Anyways, so what we do is, so you can get your dose of Chris Elliott and consumer advocacy and all the great things that Chris is involved in, is bring him regularly on the Travel Guys. So the fact that he's not in the newspaper anymore, you don't lose him here in Sacramento. Chris, a couple weeks ago, you updated a column that you had written over the summer about reducing your carbon footprint when you travel. And since my humble opinion here is that the warming of the climate and the changing of the climate is going to impact the travel industry dramatically, we need to have a hand in helping to resolve this issue. And you seem to be recognizing that here. So I wanted to ask you about reducing your carbon footprint when you travel.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I haven't given up on the Sacramento Bee. I'm still trying to get my column back in there, hopefully. It'll happen. If anyone from the Bee is listening to this, please ask your editor if you can restore my column. That'll make me very happy. But to the point, carbon, the whole traveling while green has been a thing for a while now. And I think that a lot of travelers already have baked this into their travels for a while. Travelers have been doing that by reducing the number of flights that they're taking and maybe doing more environmentally friendly vacations, like, for example, taking a train or even walking. But they're also doing it through things like carbon offsets and staying at hotels that are more environmentally friendly.
Chris, are you seeing, is there a commerce swing here? Is there enough people? Do you sense that there are enough people saying, I'm going to choose this hotel over this hotel because these people are kinder to the environment? Are we seeing that yet?
Yeah, I think we are. I think especially among certain groups of people, certain types of travelers, there always has been a segment of travelers that's been extremely concerned about the environmental impact of their travel. What we're seeing right now is that more people who are just maybe traveling once or twice a year are saying, hey, you know what? I'm not going to fly. I'm going to maybe drive instead, or I'm going to take a train, or I'm going to buy an electric car. Whatever the way is, they're trying to contribute and maybe not pollute the environment as much, because you can already see the evidence is all there that things, you know, the ice is melting, the planet is sick, and they don't want to make it sicker.
Chris, you pointed out in your column that you wrote that some of the major travel players have already taken some steps. For example, you mentioned that Hilton announced last year it would cut environmental footprint in half and double its social impact investment by 2030. That's 10 years from now. Lufthansa is trying to make their fleet more fuel efficient and hopes to reduce their CO2 emissions by 1.5 million tons a year. Carnival, which owns four cruise lines, has reduced its carbon dioxide emissions 28% from its 2005 baseline. Those are fairly impressive numbers, but experts are telling us that there's going to have to be some really dramatic changes. Do you see, Chris, as you look into your crystal ball, as we're at the end of the year, it's kind of the time when people are giving predictions. Do you see how this climate change and travel, is there a way for us to come together to make this beneficial, to make travel a part of making the planet healthier? Or is travel going to continue to be a drain on the planet until people stand up and say, hey, you know, like the flight shaming that's going on in Europe?
Yeah, well, I applaud the efforts made by Carnival and Hilton. These are no small efforts, but they're just not enough. It's not going to make that big of a difference. The real difference will be made if people say, for example, I'm not going to fly anymore. And, you know, you talk about flight shaming. That's a big thing in Europe now. Hasn't really caught on here. People still like their planes and like the convenience of being able to fly anywhere they want to. As I said in this column, the only way to really make sure that you're not damaging the environment is to stop traveling, period. I know that's not going to go over very well to your listeners, but that's really the only way of doing it. And so until there is a way to completely eliminate our greenhouse emissions, that is really the only thing that we can do. But, you know, there is a middle ground, I think. I mean, if you stop flying, that's really going to contribute or contribute less, I should say. You know, if you decide to visit a city maybe where there's mass transit and you don't have to rent a car, that's going to make a difference as well. And then staying, of course, at a hotel that's more environmentally friendly. There's never going to be a hotel, I think, that's completely environmentally friendly. I think there are some who are trying to go for zero emissions or being carbon neutral, but really, staying at a hotel is a wasteful thing. You've got all this, you know, soap, water, whatever it is that there are utilities. It's really hard to cut back on some of those things, but the thing is that people are thinking about it now, and that's a wonderful thing, because I think the more people think about it, the sooner we'll have a solution.
Well, we don't have a lot of long-distance trains in the United States, or even regional trains that run on the kind of a schedule. I mean, here in Sacramento, we have regular service to San Francisco and San Jose that we can depend on train-wise that goes a dozen or so times a day. But what we need is service. And, of course, on the Eastern Seaboard, there's some pretty good train service. But what we need is more train service. And of course, here in California, we've tried to build a bullet train that has wasted a lot of money and a lot of time. And whether it'll ever get built or not is anyone's guess. But maybe those kinds of projects will get more public attention as we go forward. My concern, Chris, is that as travelers that we're contributing in a disproportionate way to this problem. So our company, starting in the new year, is going to do some things to try to eliminate some of the things that we do. We are going to start using some aluminum bottles instead of plastic bottles, and trying to do some small things that maybe I kind of feel like if we show people that we're in the game, that we can encourage them when they go home to carry this a step further. I think that it's up to us as travel people to show people how to be good stewards of the planet.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And I think that, you know, we're getting to that point. One of the trends that I really like when I was researching the story, by the way, was that the people who are traveling overseas, like going to Europe, they were saying instead of maybe making two or three trips over, make one longer trip, which could be very good for the travel industry as well, because you have, you know, instead of having someone on the ground for 4 or 5 days, you have them on the ground for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So that's one really practical way that you can, if you have to go to Europe or you have to go to Asia, is just make one trip, one longer trip, instead of a couple of shorter ones.
Chris, let's change subjects for just a few minutes here and tell us a little bit about the Reader's Choice Awards. What's the latest?
Yeah, we do those every year for my nonprofit advocacy organizations called Elliott Advocacy. And we're voting right now. Our readers are voting right now for their favorite companies of 2020. Please go to my website, my nonprofit site. It's Elliott Advocacy, which is Elliott.org, ELLIOTT.org, and vote there.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. We will have a link to that website, to Elliott.org, on TravelGuysRadio.com. You can go now or you can go anytime during the week and vote. This is an opportunity for you to register your opinions. And then, importantly, once the votes are tabulated, we'll come back and let you know what readers and listeners to Chris's advocacy site all over the country have voted. And that might have something to do with your decisions in terms of what choices you make the next time that you are choosing a travel supplier. Chris, thanks for your time today. If while you're roaming around, you find any great examples of people who are having some success in reducing their carbon footprint, please share. I'm tired of checking into hotels in many of the flyover states in the country and not even finding a recycling garbage can. So we got to get some more people on board with this concept.
You bet. I'll do that.
We really do. Travelers talk all the time. Those of us who travel talk about how travel is such an enriching thing and how it makes the planet better and stuff. We're doing more than our share to make the planet worse. So we've it's time for travelers to step up to the plate and get rid of some of this stuff that is just a convenience.
You know, travelers, just like everybody else, need to learn what goes in what. Nowadays, you'll go to events, and even out at the airport, it'll say trash, it'll say recycle, it'll say garbage.
And I mean to do the right thing, and I don't always know what to do.
That's what I'm talking about. So, well, we'll make that a training program sometime later on the Travel Guys. All right, it's time to have a little fun. This is very poignant. I think you're going to enjoy this. It's an interview that Mark set up with Santa Claus, Indiana. It's a place, but it's way, way more than that. Just keep it here. You'll find out what I'm talking about when we come back here on the Travel Guys.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys here on KFBK. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, it's that time of the year in the holiday season, and people think about traveling to unusual places, perhaps, and wonder where Santa Claus hangs out and so forth. Mark, you used to take folks to a kind of a unique destination that has a little bit to do with Christmas. Tell us a little bit about it.
There is a wonderful town, small town in Indiana, with the name of Santa Claus. And so not only, as you might expect, is it a tremendous place to enjoy the holidays, our company every year does what we call a Christmas mystery tour. We pick out a destination and folks sign up for the trip without having any idea where they're going. And one year we visited Indiana and one of our destinations was Santa Claus. And before we got there, we were asked by the folks there if we wanted to participate in a project that they do every year. And we opted to, and when we got done with the evening, folks just, they still talk about the night in Santa Claus when we answered letters. So we have invited Nell and Mrs. Cook and some of the characters from Santa Claus, Indiana, who are just finishing up this year's project of helping Santa answer some letters. Ladies, can you tell us a little bit about your project and what you do there in Santa Claus, Indiana?
Well, you know, we are Santa's helpers. You know, Santa's so busy this time of year. He's getting toys ready. He's checking his list. And the letters come into this post office, and Santa is way too busy to answer all these letters by himself, and Mrs. Claus is helping him. So we are Santa's helpers in getting letters back to the children. And it's really I think it's more a ministry than it is a project, because we all feel very deeply that this is very important, and that that children are made happy, and we have a good time and are happy about doing it.
Now, how long have the folks in Santa Claus, have the elves in Santa Claus been assisting Santa with answering letters?
Well, Santa Claus, the town, has been here since 1856 and as a post office. And we are told, and this is hearsay or whatever, that letters have been answered for 100 years. I'm not 100 years old. I'm 88 years old, but I know they've been answered for a long, long time. I know that they were originally answered by the postmaster, because it was always a man in former times. And that got to be such. And then in the 1930s, there was a cartoon, Ripley's Believe It or Not, that said, believe it or not, there's a town in Indiana called Santa Claus, and letters come there. And over 100,000 letters came in that year. And the post office department threatened to close down the post office because it was way too busy. That was the year possibly that my father came home from his tour of duty in World War One, and he saw how busy the postmaster was at that time. And there are many pictures of the postmaster with bags and bags and bags of letters. I have no idea what they could do with that many. But in those days, actually, townspeople answered the letters. Schools answered the letters. Monasteries answered the letters. It was not the days of trying to keep HIPAA and trying to keep privacy. So they would go out all over the neighborhood and countryside, typing class at the local schools to be answered. And my father took that up when he came back and used the American Legion Post and the VFW and just enlisted lots of people and helped the postmaster. And so I started answering when I was probably 12 in the 40s. And it still was pretty much, you know, a community effort.
Now, I have to ask about the Santa Claus Museum and Village right there in Santa Claus, the town of. Tell us a little bit about what you're going to see when you go to the museum.
Well, I hope you see all kinds of wonderful history and pictures of the town and how it used to be many, many years ago. The history of how the post office was granted its name. We have that document. We have the table from the old post office, which was in the original town of Santa Claus. And a lot of history about my father, who was Santa Claus' biggest helper from 30 till 84.
You're listening to The Travel Guys, and we are talking with Santa's Elves in Santa Claus, Indiana, where they do a wonderful community project every year. They pitch in and help Santa answer letters to children. 28,000 we're hearing this year. Now, this has to be a little bit dicey at times. We were in Santa Claus, and we answered letters one year, and sometimes those letters have some fairly heart-pulling requests. How do you handle letters from, not every kid is asking for a new bicycle, and it was my experience when I was there, in many cases, kids don't ask for things for themselves. They ask for things for their siblings or their family or stuff like that. How do you all handle that?
Well, you know, there are very many funny and interesting and entertaining letters, and those are great. And then there are many letters that are very complicated and are sad. And we do our very best to let them know that Santa cares mostly, and that we hope better things for that child. We can't promise that child anything. We can't promise that child that dad's going to come home. Or we can't promise that child that they're going to be able to live with their mother and dad and not grandma, you know? So we have to be very just careful about how we answer them. But we always try to be optimistic and caring and let them know that Santa cares and that we hope that their wishes come true.
Well, I can tell you that some folks from Sacramento who spent one evening helping to answer those letters still talk about it many years later. And one of these years, before too long, we are going to come back there and help you again, because I truly personally can't remember anything that I spent a few hours doing that had a more lasting impact. So the work that you got, that you men and ladies do there of helping to answer the letters to Santa Claus in Santa Claus, Indiana, is a huge public service. And thank you very much for all the work that you do.
They say you're welcome.
Well,
it is a you know, it's really a privilege to do it. And in my humble opinion, it's just amazing that kids still believe in Santa Claus, and we want to keep that faith and that belief going, because it's such an important part of childhood. And with all the things they know electronically, it's amazing to me. But they still do believe. And they really empty their whole heart and soul to Santa, which is just wonderful.
There are a few expenses associated with answering letters to Santa Claus. And so if you go to travelguysradio.com, you will find a link not only to the museum in Santa Claus, but to how you can help if you would like to. And maybe next year we'll talk to you a little bit before the end of the project, so that kids in Sacramento who want to send a letter to Santa Claus can do that. Thank you so much for some of your time here as it gets close to Christmas. Anybody who's helping Santa has to be really busy. So thank you, ladies, very much for your time today.
You're very welcome. Let us know when you're coming so we can prepare for it, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Boy, that's amazing. Amazing. So, Mark, you and your travelers.
We spent an evening, and yeah. I'm just, as you heard me say there, you have no idea. You sit down and you start reading letters from kids to Santa Claus, and some of them are funny. I mean, some of them are hysterical, and some of them will rip your heart out.
Can you remember one, a funny one or whatever?
One little boy asked if Santa Claus would please come and take away his little brother. Because his little brother was just a pain in the rear end, and if he could just take him away, it would be okay if he brought him back when he grew up. And so I thought that was kind of hysterical. But did you ever write letters to Santa Claus?
You know, I think I did. I can't really remember. I'm sure I must have. But I think I might have mentioned before we went on the air, I saved letters that my daughters, well, Santa passed them on to me after the fact, after he read them. And, and so I still have some of the letters that my daughters wrote to Santa Claus, and They're always fun and endearing to read.
Yeah, well, I seem to remember writing a couple myself, but when you're on the other end and you sit there and you start answering them,
yeah.
As our 88-year-old lady in charge of the Santa Claus Project pointed out, it's, you know, you can't promise the kids anything. You have to just kind of, you give them hope. And you reinforce the fact that there's somebody out there who cares about them. So I would just suggest to you that the people in Santa Claus, Indiana, perform an incredible public service every year. 28,000.
Last minute update on the airport.
Oh, last
anything?
Minute update on the airport. I'm watching the website. Nothing yet. The computers have not come back up. So if you have a flight, I suggest you go out at the time you're supposed to go. And keep your eye on everything. And also stay with KFBK. They will have updates tomorrow morning, I'm certain, all the time on what's going on out at the airport.
All right. Final word?
Merry Christmas to everybody, and dance like nobody's watching.
Same here. All right. Keep it here. Probably have an update at the top of the hour.
He never has the time to turn around.